the harvest is ripe, but the laborers are few. Why did he use that word?
God goes to extreme measures to bring the lost to himself.
The greatest gift you will ever give this world is your intimacy with God.
The Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit are all three inside of me. I've got the power right now.
I think what Jesus really wants is people to go. I want to be the answer to Jesus' prayer request.
Welcome to the Fuel for the Harvest podcast.
When this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world, then shall the end come.
Hey everyone, and welcome to this latest episode of Fuel for the Harvest. This is Nathan.
And this is Charlie. We're your hosts for today. And we are back with Tim.
Hi again.
So excited for this, man. Thanks for everything you said on last week's episode. Man, I'm so excited for today. I think this is where we really get to the meat. We get to the excitement. We had the beginning rumblings of what has happened, and now we're going to see what has God done as a result. Maybe you can just pick up where we left off last week. So you launched this house church. It multiplied. Now there's three where we were at in the story. What happened with these three? I mean, maybe there's more than three now, and how did it get there? What happened after that?
Okay, so let's fast forward to what's happening right now and maybe last year.
Yeah.
Right now, there's like in a direct connection with us and our leadership team, I was trying to count just before, like over 20 house churches.
Wow. Praise God.
From different parts of Poland, mostly in the south of Poland. And there's also a number of churches like indirect that we just, you know, work and love and talk.
Maybe they were inspired by you.
Yes. Also, there's also a number of people still being affected by the channel, which we have no idea about what's happening because not everybody is contacting us to share. So, whatever we started doing, whatever the Holy Spirit really started doing, it's growing.
Amen.
And I hope it's going to be this way all the time. Whatever the Holy Spirit started is growing, and whatever we started is fading. Yeah,
so it's almost like what John the Baptist said: "He must increase, and I must increase."
20 some house churches. That's, man, that's amazing.
And right now, I'm not a caretaker of a house church.
Okay.
Me and my wife, we stopped because all of the people that left our house and started their own house churches. So now we are focused on ministering to them since a year.
Yeah.
And so basically we don't have any time to... It's tempting because it's so nice to, you know, to have born-again people and to work with them from the basics. I mean, this is so
lovely. But you're multiplying others now.
Yes.
Yeah. That's highly, highly important.
So 20 house churches and about 20 people in each of those house churches.
I would say between 5 and 20. I mean,
5 and 20, all right.
And 20 is a lot already for our setup.
Remind us what year you started.
2016, March.
And it's now 2021.
Yeah.
And so in a short 6 years, you've seen 20 house churches emerge. That's incredible.
Yeah, I mean, some emerge, some close, some emerge, some close. I don't want to overstate, but just through our closest people, we have seen a few thousand people born again.
Wow, a few thousand.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
I hope I'm not getting some kind of strange numbers, but just by the, you know, the channel, the churches.
How often are people becoming born again, getting saved?
Just people I see and hear is like every week.
Wow. It's amazing.
It's amazing. Like, it's like amazing to see what God's doing through you, because like in the West, yeah, there are churches some here and there. I mean, in the United States, there are churches
the
here
West,
and there.
West.
Yeah, the West West. That are seeing people decide to follow Jesus on a really regular basis, but it seems that there's a huge number of congregations out there that, if anything, they're shrinking. So to hear that there's new believers every week, that's phenomenal. And I think you were sharing that it's not just that they're deciding to believe, but they're getting really serious, right?
Yeah. And what is really reassuring for us is that we are seeing similar movements in Poland doing the same thing, being inspired by the same thought of the Holy Spirit. And they don't watch our channel. So this is very reassuring when you see somebody in Poland they don't know our channel, but they do the same thing. Mm. It's like, yes, it means it's the Holy Spirit doing you this revival. It is a revival. Yeah. I mean, I think it's in English it's called grassroots revival.
Yeah.
Like it's mostly through house churches. It's
or
mostly,
an organic movement, maybe.
Yeah, yeah. It's mostly family members, friends. You know, you just preach to your friend. You preach to your sister or wife, and this kind of connections.
Mm.
And of course the channel, because we have a couple of I would say flagship episodes which are very popular, over 100,000 views.
Wow.
Which are still addressing some key features in Polish religious world, and we hear people getting born again through.
Amen.
Not getting born again through watching a video, but you know, started thinking, going back to the Bible, started thinking again, praying, and having their own personal repentance and experience of the Lord.
Wow, it's amazing. So, how did it get to this point? Like, what kinds of things did you encounter along the way? Like, how did it grow?
You know, typical things: pain, sweat, and blood,
suffering.
Actually, I'm not joking. It was not. I mean, it's very rewarding to see, to have this feeling of that God is doing something in my country, and I have a tiny part of it to do. Mm. I mean, this is just. I mean, it makes me. Right now, it just makes me want to cry. It's just this is this kind of amazing stuff. Even if it's good, it's, you know, just a small, tiny part of his plan. But by the fruits and what's happening, you see it's him. This is so worth everything.
Mm. Amen.
Amen.
Oh, sorry, No, that's okay.
So you were just kind of in the moment since they didn't get to see your face. You just kind of like you just kind of rested in everything that God is doing, and there's just like this smile and this peace that came across your face.
I mean, the moment I met you guys.
Hmm.
So we were in a bus. I was sitting in between you. We were talking, and at one point we realized we know each other from the internet environment.
Yeah.
And I was like, what is happening?
Yeah, it was a crazy connection. We were all so surprised. Wait a second, I think I know who you are.
Yeah, yeah. And I was like, I have your book.
Yeah. I was like, you run a publishing house, don't you?
Yeah. Pretty amazing.
Yes. So yeah, the moments of you know that the chain of events of your life. Mm-hmm. It's not a, you know, random cosmic mambo jumbo. It's just it's just led, and the God is here. It's right now. There's three of us in His name. He's here.
So, amen. Yeah.
So yeah.
What does evangelism look like? So you're talking about every week people are becoming born again.
Yeah.
And that's not just through you, obviously.
No, of course.
That's through the whole network.
Yeah.
That's through the everyday believers having been equipped for the ministry in the house churches, going out and leading people to Christ in their everyday life.
Mm-hmm.
So what does that evangelism look like for those who are listening? Tell us about that.
Well, it's super various.
Yeah.
It's because, okay, at one point, most of the connections we have is the family and the friends. So I would say the preaching of the, you know, like a core gospel, it's the main thing, like just bringing people to the state of repentance and then showing the cross and the life of Jesus it's the number of forms, then it gets multiplied, because sometimes it's just preaching with your life through your job.
Sure.
Sometimes it's just preaching straight thing. Like, okay, there was one guy who sent us a message that, oh, I like your channel so much. I would like to do some marketing for you guys. Okay, call me. And I'm talking to him, and just before I was going to get into some business stuff, I have this thought. Okay, I don't know how much time do you have, but could you please tell me your testimony, at least in a few minutes. say, yeah, sure, yeah. And he starts talking about how he understood that the Catholic Church is wrong and how the Bible is cool. And I can hear him with my, you know, physical and spiritual ears, let's say that. I has completely no relationship to Jesus. And it's like, can I ask you one question that can actually be worth, you know, just all of this conversation? If you die today, what will happen to you? And he says, well, I'm sure I will not go to heaven. It's like, ooh, there we are.
There's some authenticity
there. Yeah, and you know, it's and then, okay, I just said, okay, you are right. But I have some good news for you.
Yeah.
And so sometimes it's just this. I mean, there was a green light, and I used it.
Amen.
When at the same time, I can be just, you know, flexing my muscles and trying to take the Bible and bash my friends with the Bible in their heads. That's completely, we call it like a green light, red light situations.
Sure.
That you know that there's no, that the soil is not ready sometimes.
Yeah.
And then we all try to emphasize this in our movement, that this is the moment to back off a bit and to pray. Sure. Maybe you are not the right person. Maybe you are not the right person. Maybe he's not in the right time.
Yeah.
And I remember when I was Catholic, I went through this Alpha course. I don't know if you...
Familiar.
Yeah. So I went through a complete Alpha course with a two-day retreat.
Okay.
And I recently found notes from that retreat in a small booklet. And I was like, what? And in that booklet, there's everything, like repentance, dedicating your life to Christ, being born again. And it's like... everything was there. Do you know how much I remember from that retreat?
No.
Zero.
One nice girl who was there. I wasn't ready. I was completely blinded with my with my selfishness and stuff I wanted to do and parties and nothing. I was a complete red light guy.
Yeah. It's amazing to me. I've encountered that exact same thing in my own life. Like, you're hearing all of the right things, right? People are speaking the truth of God over you, but you know when Jesus says you don't have ears to hear, I resonate with that at such a deep level, because there were so many people in my life early on in my life saying, Nathan, you need to get up close to Jesus. You need to be intimate with Jesus. You need to spend time alone with him. You need to do all these things. And I was like, blah, 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 blah. Like, I had no ears to hear. And then finally it took like the Lord slapping me across the face to like, you know, metaphorically speaking, to wake me up and be like, hey, the living Jesus can flip your life upside down. It makes all the difference. It's so true.
I think the key is that we are scattering seed and engaging people wherever we're at. And then as we're doing that, we realize, okay, they're rejecting, they're pushing back, they're saying no, red light. I'm going to pray for them and I'm still going to love them in action, but I'm going to keep sharing until I find people who are green light. I'm not going to give up. I was even thinking, like, there's some people in my life right now, been opposed to really being born again for years. And it's taken difficulties in life and suffering for them to be open. And now is the time.
Yeah.
But there's been prayer going on for all those years.
Of course.
And God has finally softened hearts, and it's fascinating how that can happen.
You know, this whole movement reminds me of Acts 8:1. You know, they encounter the persecution, and all the believers begin to be scattered out of Jerusalem, and they're going, and as they're going, they're preaching the gospel. And it's like, that's the authenticity that comes along with this movement that you and your leadership team have started, of like, it's not about the method, it's not about this particular way of doing business or that particular way of doing business. You're just humans following Jesus, trying to honor him in everything and saying, hey, we need to gather together and we need to do this. Like, there's just a deep authenticity there. And it resonates with me, and I'm like, man, maybe I should start meeting together in my house with fellow believers.
Woo-hoo.
Yeah, it's a fun thing to do. Not always easy, but... No. God works in it. And so the house churches were growing, believers were going out and sharing with people in their everyday life. I'm sure you guys were encouraging that in your meetings. Hey, engage your family, engage your friends where they're at, right? And it's begun to grow, which that's an exciting thing to see. Now, is that your only meeting? So people meet during the week? And well, let's get to that. But the leaders, are they also have jobs, right? The caretakers of these churches, they have jobs. So this is something that they do outside of their job. They're meeting during a weekday, sometime for dinner, something like that. And at that time in their houses. But is there anything else, or is it just this one thing that they go to?
No. At one point, we have realized that we need a kind of a platform of communication. Mm-hmm. That so we've experienced that not only through our network, but other house churches, because there are other networks. And we would see that if a house church gets inclusive, like sterile,
exclusive. Like not no longer growing, no longer allowing people, new people in. Is that what you're saying?
Yes. Yeah. Okay. Sorry, English.
Internally focused.
And, yeah. and you don't want to... Okay, it becomes a kingdom, like a mini kingdom.
Yes.
With some set rules and stuff like that. And you are not open to interact with other house churches, other people. You're not open to be corrected. Mm. You're not open to be like influenced. Somehow, I mean, a good
influence. Right, productive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so this is dangerous because this leads to sectarian churches. I know how to say that.
Yeah.
Like
you know, isolated,
and apparently, and then you have a house church which says we are the only church. Mm. So this is super dangerous.
Yeah. Right.
Because this kind of house church will eventually just hurt itself, hurt everybody inside and outside, and just leave. I've seen this kind of situations. It's painful even to talk about, because you know, when you have people that you've preached the gospel to them and you've baptized them, and then they at one point they just backstab you and do some stuff and start hurting other people. This is, you know, like you always ask a question: what could I do better? But free will is free will.
Yeah.
Sometimes people do what they want.
I think that's unfortunately inevitable in following Jesus and engaging his mission. Jesus had Judas.
Yes.
Our Lord himself.
And then Peter.
Right. Yeah. Like there were always things happening. Or let's not even mention Judas. How about John 6:66, where Jesus had many disciples, not just the 12, hundreds, maybe thousands that were following him, considered disciples, and he gave a difficult teaching, and they all turned their back. And it says they no longer followed him from that day forward. And Jesus says to his 12, are you going to leave too? Imagine, like that's, I've experienced it at times in ministry as well, when people backstab or go against or go behind your back. And it's one of the most painful things at times. I also think it forces us to truly go back and be completely content in Christ himself. Mm-hmm. To say, he's really the one I need my satisfaction and acceptance from. He's the one I'm seeking to be pleased in me. He's the one who protects me, who has the closest relationship with me. Mm-hmm. Not anybody else on this planet.
Yeah.
So there's this sense of there's a need for accountability, and it, because there's no bishop or pope or whatever, like there needs to be accountability among the churches.
Exactly.
So you say, we need a big meeting.
Yeah.
So what does that look like?
Right now, I'll say it. Yes, we have strange times right now, which are, you know, a lot of people are not meeting on big meetings for some reasons which we all know.
Right. COVID.
but we are meeting. We had a short break when we had no idea what's happening.
So we there was no knowledge for anybody
what was going on. For like 3 months.
Okay.
But during these 3 months we had a prayer meeting on Zoom, or I just made a commercial, sorry.
That's fine.
Okay.
Unless you don't want the Chinese to get your information, just don't download the app.
Exactly. We're not using it anymore anyway. And we were meeting every day for 90 days.
Wow.
For 2 or 3 hours of prayer only.
Wow.
I was like 20 to 30 to 40 people. And from that group, we have, I mean, it's like, you know that. When you pray with someone regularly, and it's an honest prayer, there's a bond.
Sure.
So out of these 3 months, we had a group of, you know, almost 20 people with extraordinary bonds generated. And so we went back. Before that time, we were meeting first once per month in a big meeting that started at 10 o'clock in the morning and finished at 6 o'clock in the afternoon. And then we started meeting every 2 weeks. And after that pause of 3 months, we decided, like, we'll just finish our meeting. Everybody's going home from our house church. The house church that we attend now, with six people, total of 6 people. And we said, like, wait, maybe we can do a meeting every week right now, since, yeah, let's do it. It's impossible, let's do it. And actually, since a year already, we are meeting every week. We rent a big space that can help me out, guys.
That can host a lot of people.
Yeah, that can host 100 people. And it's completely open.
Okay.
Okay. It's by design. It's for the house churches. You come. We have tables with food. People get offended by that sometimes.
I'm not offended by that. It makes me hungry. It's getting close to dinner time.
I'm excited. I can't wait to be in one of your meetings sometime. One day, right with you in Poland. I'm ready. Hopefully, lots of Polish sausage.
Yeah, of course. Come on. So there's plenty of food. There's coffee and tea. And we try to make it as open as possible. We have time. We meet at 11. And we finish at 3:30, 4 in the afternoon.
Wow.
So there's time of relationship, which is like, if you will look from outside, nothing is happening. People just keep on talking. Sure. Why are they not praying? Why are they not doing some stuff? We're just people just talking, just meeting from other house churches, exchanging experience, their burdens, their testimonies. It can last from 1 hour to 2 hours if needed, as long as people, you know, just get out or in whatever they want. And then we have an extended prayer time. It depends on what's happening in all of us, because we, a long time ago, we made this commitment that there's no music on our meetings. Not because we are, you know, some wackos that want to enforce some new style of worship, just because we realized that our groups, we are very prone to get carried away by the music and just being led not into the prayer, but just, you know, singing without understanding.
Sure.
Please, I'm not neglecting any worship styles. Yeah, our case.
Yeah.
And we decided, okay, to break that and to put, because, you know, we are always about responsibility. So let's move the responsibility of prayer from the worship leadership, or what's
leader, yeah.
Okay, to the church.
Huh.
And if it will be bad, it will be bad, and we will know we don't know how to pray. So imagine, like, okay, let's pray, and then silence. What's wrong? And of course, we did it with preparation. We had this couple of months of prayer together. So this team of people that were praying for an extended time together. So that was the start. I don't have the English words for that. Okay.
That was the catalyst.
Yeah.
And even if nobody else wanted to pray or was feeling down, this number of people was supposed to, okay, let's let's make this prayer, you know, contagious. Mm. I think that's a bad word for it.
No, it's a good word. Yeah.
So, and we started, and we started learning. We started realizing that we don't know how to pray as a, you know, like corporate body of Christ.
Yeah.
At the beginning, we were praying just like a number of individual prayers. And we were starting to learn how to pray as a church, how to listen to each other during the prayer, how to, you know, it's always funny because it's like, it's very loud on our prayers. But even though it's loud, you always hear brothers and sisters around and you can just shout amen to what they say. So it's loud. And, but in this volume, there is, I don't want to say order, but you know, it's
unity.
It's unity.
Yeah.
It's unity. It works. Sometimes it, when it's bad, because sometimes it's bad. Like, you know, where you are in the middle of the summer, it's 30-something degrees, and everybody's tired.
37 degrees is really hot in Celsius.
Yeah. For those of you who use Fahrenheit, the United States of America is the only country. Anyway.
So, and, okay, sometimes we just stop. We just stop completely the prayer. We have some people which are, you know, quite sure of what they're doing, and they just stop and say, guys, I don't know who are we praying to tonight, but this is something bad. Of course, we are praying to Jesus, I'm joking. But sometimes we just stop and we need to reassess the situation. Okay, are we really worshiping or we are just whining? What's happening here right now? Are we ready? Because if we are not ready, we need a session of you know, forgiveness. We need to
repentance.
We need to remove our yokes here that we all brought from the outside, and let's do it again. I mean, we are in right now, we have this this courage to do things like that, but not only to break stuff, but also knowledge to continue and to lift the church.
Wow.
Stop it and say, okay guys, this is, we are doing something stupid right now. Let's think about what's happening and let's start over.
Yeah.
That's why our prayer, you know, sometimes it's from 30 minutes to an hour and a half. And
sure.
We don't have an order of things that's happening because we also have a session of teaching. There's always one or more people sharing something. But it's not in order. Sometimes we pray first. We always talk about it. Okay, so what do we do here? What do we do now?
Yeah.
What's the plan for today? Do anybody has some good insight on what should we do today?
It's really interesting because this kind of putting it on the church instead of putting it on the leader, you almost get a weekly pulse on where the church is. Spiritually speaking.
Yay, that's good. Wow, that's nice.
I love that. I feel that that's what we see in Scripture.
Right.
I hope so.
1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 26 has been a key scripture for me when I think about movements we're trying to launch around the world and unreached places where people who don't know Christ, and they're going to be meeting in small groups or in their homes when they come to Christ and gather together. And it says, when you come together, 1 Corinthians 14:26, each one has a hymn, a lesson, a revelation, a tongue, or an interpretation. Let all things be done for building up. And so each one might bring a different piece to the puzzle. It might be, hey, does somebody have something they feel led to pray? Or like you're saying, somebody, is there something on your heart to share? Is there something that we need to do? And it's like, you can't pre-plan all of that. You can pre-plan the structure, like, hey, we're going to have prayer. We're going to have scripture. We're going to have a time for interaction, but it invites everyone to engage as the body of Christ, not isolate and sit and do nothing.
Right. I love that. I don't know if it was this episode or last episode that you said it, but you said they can come in and they can just blend in and they can sleep.
Yeah.
And it's not just physically sleep. It's a spiritual sleep, right? Mm-hmm. Like they can just... they can just become these spiritually obese people that feed and never, they eat and they eat and they eat and they never pour out ever. Yes. And it's like, man, it's almost as if the church in the book of Acts knew what they were doing.
And I think something that's key about that is not just the negative side, but the positive side. Each person has something to offer to the body of Christ. And it could be that they have yet to discover God's gift that he's given them, which is a gift to the rest of God's people. And they just haven't had the opportunity to offer that to God's people.
But because of the way that you guys are doing it, not just on the leader, but on the whole body of Christ, I bet people are discovering what they bring to the body of Christ on a much more regular basis.
Yes.
Oh my goodness.
It's exciting.
That is cool.
Is there anything else that you feel would be important to share with those who are listening?
Definitely, because I want to emphasize that it's not only super nice. I just shared some super extra stuff, but it's I gave the numbers of, you know, how many people came to Christ, and we don't see all of them in the body of Christ. We don't see them. We don't have the, you know, like a golden way to make people not falling asleep, especially that we have this YouTube channel which gives people a lot of information.
Sure.
And we don't need we need that information.
Yeah.
But most important, we need formation. And we are still praying and asking the Lord what would be the perfect way to get most of that people that become born again to actually be super active and just not join our movement. We don't care about that.
Yeah.
We don't really, this is the last thing we want to do, because everybody knows how much time you need to spend to work with people.
It's so, not about building your name.
Yeah. But hoping people will become true disciples in action, true laborers for God's kingdom every day.
If there would be a catchphrase for our movement, that would be something, you know, around your personal calling. Mm. Because there is a global calling for the church. Yes. There's also your personal calling, your personal thing that the Lord just, you know, like, he created you in a super fancy way, and he gave you that one extra strength or more. Yeah,
each unique gift for each person.
Yeah, and just to find it and do it and just keep on doing it until you're done and the Lord calls you back home. So we would love that. We are Amen. Far away from saying that, you know, yes, this is it, and then we can go to America and show you how it should be done. No.
Might not be entirely a bad thing for you to come show us how it's done.
That would be so. I don't think it fits in my theology to do that. It's like, you know, this is because we were searching from the beginning. We were searching for the expression of the body of Christ for our time and for our culture. It's easy to copy. I mean, we tried. I'm saying this because we tried copying models from
other places,
other house churches. It didn't work. It didn't work. And there are some elements which are super nice and they work, but when we were just trying, or other movements trying to copy one by one something, like one into one, it didn't bring too much fruit. So it's still a work in progress. I'm happy because I see what's happening. I see that, you know, that when you preach the gospel to somebody and somebody just gives his life to Christ, I mean, just come on, these are the moments that are worth living.
Yes.
And so when we have this privilege, because I know it's a privilege for us to see born again people getting saved, you know, week by week, and coming to our city from, you know, a couple of hundred kilometers just to get baptized because they know us. Of course, they could get baptized anywhere, but they know us. They felt the connection, mostly because of the YouTube channel, or through the stuff I do, and they just come, and it's nice. I mean, it's because our Saturday meetings, and hey, why not Sunday meetings? People ask us, why not Sunday meetings? Because we don't want to interfere with what other churches are doing. Our meetings are super open. We have a lot of visitors from denominational churches that come. We have pastors visiting us just to come and share. Yeah. This is the moment of joy.
Wow.
So we just don't want to get in their way on Sunday.
Yeah.
Because in Poland, it's Sunday when most of the
people worship
services are happening. So Saturday is our day. And so I mean, just we pray, we wish, and we can't wait to see the church being truly one.
If I could summarize everything I've learned from you in the last couple of days, I would say approach this kind of thing with great humility, desire to serve the larger body of Christ, understand that it's going to get messy, and always point people to Jesus. Mm-hmm. Like, I would say that would be my summary of what I've
learned. And just go for it.
Yeah, and keep trying. And don't stop. Yeah. Keep going and keep going and persevere.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, that's... These are the core principles of our movement, more or less. Wow. So I wasn't too chaotic. Yes.
Man, that's exciting. Well, man, Tim, it's been such a blessing to have you on the podcast and just for you to share your heart and what God's up to in Poland. Thanks for so much for joining us.
Yeah, thanks. If someone wanted to contact you, what would be the most effective way for them to do that?
Why would anyone want to contact me?
You've got the YouTube channel, or is there like a website or email or something?
I basically would just to get me to get my personal Facebook.
Okay.
Yeah, it's...
How about this? If you're listening, you can reach out to us at fuelfortheharvest@gmail.com, and we'll certainly connect you with Tim.
Yep.
Yeah.
And if you're Polish and you speak Polish, or you're not Polish and you speak Polish and you want to know what your YouTube channel is, Tim,
why don't you tell us?
Okay, the name of the channel is Tajemny Plan. Tajemny Plan.
And your Facebook name?
Same, Tajemny Plan.
Okay, so that's great. If you're Polish, you want to check that out. By the way, for those of you who are Polish or in Poland right now listening, we know we have some listeners from Poland. Thank you so much for joining in. I'm sure this episode is going to be a great encouragement to you specifically. And you might know Tim, and if not, man, you got to get to know him. So
he's a pretty cool guy.
Well, thank you guys so much for joining this episode. God bless you. See you next time.